You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with our sponsor, Jeremy Fenn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning.
Good morning,
Jeremy. And I hope you had a fabulous weekend.
Yes, it was nice and warm.
Yes, it was.
And I was working this weekend, so also busy, which was good. So, yeah, February's with us already.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Crazy.
Many are saying February.
You know, really?
We've just left January, now into February.
Yeah, that's true. I'm enjoying the cool breeze that's coming through today. I don't know if you've experienced it, but after the heat of this last week and the weekend.
Yes, so and the thunderstorm, the unexpected thunderstorm
that
we
had.
Yeah,
that was also crazy. It cooled us down for like 2 seconds, and then it was like back to that muggy heat.
All over. So this morning we are discussing what we're going to do.
Yes.
For the month.
Yeah. David usually does a sort of rundown
yes.
of what's happening in the month. So unfortunately he couldn't be here today. So I'm stepping in and going to go through some of those things. And then I thought we could also do like a nice gardening quiz for you because, you know, you've been listening to all this and I hope you're ready for your 100 questions.
You can't put me on the spot.
Okay, that's a joke.
I know it's a joke. If that was the case, you should have pre-warned me.
No. But you could study.
But I have to say, Jeremy, you look at my face every time you say something different and I'm like blown away.
I'm waiting for the reaction.
And then I go home and I tell it to the man. I say, you know, this and this and this. And he looks at me to say, really? I know that. But it can't just be me, Jeremy. So let's put it out there. This is the time to ask questions.
Yeah, definitely.
As Jeremy's got a quiz for all of you, so come through. On 072-447-8044.
Yeah, so it is February.
Yes.
And that it's still summer, definitely, as we've experienced. And it's the heat.
Yes.
The heat is definitely something that you've got to be conscious of with your garden. And I've mentioned this so many times, but it's definitely a good time if you haven't done it already is just to put some mulch down.
Yes, you did. You mentioned that.
Yes, I'm sure. I mentioned it every time.
I think you do. See?
We've got to keep that soil moist, and when that sand is exposed to the sun and the wind, it dries out so fast.
And we've had that wind, haven't we?
We had that wind last week, yes. Crazy stuff. And yeah, so the mulch is always good. So that's the bark nuggets, the wood chip, even stone mulches. You get that landscaping fabric that you can put and then put down and put stone on top so you don't get the stone turning into the soil, just to make it look neat. But anything that covers the ground to prevent the sun from hitting the bare earth is going to be beneficial. And obviously, we've talked about watering before as well. Good deep watering, better than surface watering.
Yes, and you also mentioned preferably in the evening than the morning.
Early morning.
Or late evening?
Well, you've just got to be careful because as we start getting towards March, we also start getting those colder nights. And then when you have the heat of the day, you put in the watering in the evening and then it gets cold at night, that's when the fungus breeds.
Okay.
So that's something that we've got to still be conscious of. I mean, early morning watering is ideal at any stage. But, you know, not everyone can get up early morning and do the watering if they don't have an irrigation system and stuff like that. So just be conscious of the fact that, there could be fungal problems if you're watering in the evening.
Yeah, but so for now, because it's so hot, you can still do the evening, but when you start cruising into March and the colder, preferably morning.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, ideally early morning, but if you can't make it, then, you know, the garden does need some watering.
Yes, and of course the rain comes as well, so that does it all as well.
Yeah, we can't control that. Hopefully we have that good rains again this year.
And we have, hello, Judy. We've got a question from Judy. How often should one mulch? I put my layer of rooibos mulch down, and in a couple of weeks, it seems to be mixed up in the soil.
Yes. So you want to see like a layer there. It has to, the job is to make a covering. So if it disappears, then it's time to put more down. Usually, if it's a wood chip or a bark nugget, about 4 or 5 centimeters thick, that's going to last for quite a long time. The bark nugget breaks down slightly faster than the wood chip, but if you had to put like a wood chip mulch down, that's also going to break down eventually, but it's going to take a long time. And then you'll see when it starts breaking down, you'll start seeing patches or whatever, then you just top up. So you just keep doing the thing. And it's usually like twice a year or depending on what kind of mulch you choose, but it probably a good mulching twice a year is going to be sufficient. So I think with the rooibos mulch, unfortunately, it's quite pricey. I think we've talked about this before.
Yes,
it's not a cheap mulch. So
it's a good one.
It's very good because yes. We've talked about the snails.
Yes, we did.
Snails don't like traveling over that. So the rooibos mulch, you still have to do quite a thick layer, and I think that's what's happening. The layer is too thin, and then it's sort of turning into the soil and disappearing. As I said, it is quite pricey compared to other types of mulches. Yes.
So we hope that answers your question to our dearest Judy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the question. That's always cool getting, getting stuff. And, okay, so we talked about the mulching. Then also, hopefully, you've had some fruit trees that have maybe produced something, and that's going to be coming to the end. And then we've got to prepare for, usually you would, the deciduous fruit you would prune in the wintertime, but you can also just do a bit of a shape just to keep them looking good, because sometimes they send out things all over the place. So you can definitely shape them if they've finished fruiting, but wait for the pruning later in the season. And it's a bit of a funny time in terms of like veggie planting, because it's at the end of summer. We're coming to the end of summer in February, but we're not quite in autumn winter yet. So we can start preparing for like the veggie planting for the winter. But there are other things that you can still plant at this time just to keep going. So there are things that you can plant all year round, like carrots and beetroot and stuff like that. But in terms of like exactly things for the Western Cape, I just got off one of the websites, but definitely coriander you can still plant now, kale, lettuce, as I said, is like almost all year round you can plant lettuce, marjoram, mint, rocket, beetroot, I've mentioned chives. And then I read that it's actually the best time to plant garlic at this time of year. It's just difficult to get garlic that's actually not irradiated, because if you get garlic usually from the shopping centers, they have to irradiate those bulbs before they come into the country. But we do get from Hideco, which is that bulb company, they do garlic sets, but those come a little bit later. They come in March, April. But I'm guessing, even though it says that February is the best time to plant garlic, you can still plant in, obviously, when the sets come.
Yes.
That's when it's available. And then you know that those garlics are obviously going to shoot and do the thing.
How long does it take to actually shoot?
No, they shoot quite quickly. But in terms of like making the bulbs, I'm not actually sure. It's a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a quick thing. It's like onions as well. You know, onions take a long time to make that bulb. And then they're talking about spring onion here as well.
Because those are all ready for your salads.
Yes.
That's all for your green salads.
Yeah, all the green stuff. And then, generally planting, it's not the ideal time because of the heat, but you can still do like color stuff in pots, and you can still do gardening and do planting. It's just, if you were doing bigger stuff like trees and shrubs and things, you definitely have to wait. It's too hot for that right now.
So you've got to wait for the winter.
Yes. Yeah. Autumn, March, April. Yeah. That's when you're going to do, the big stuff planting, because then at least you know that it's going to have, hopefully, the rain. It's not never guaranteed in Cape Town, but
we did have a very, very, very wet winter
last year.
Yeah. So we're not sure what's coming.
We'll have to wait and see. But at least it's cooler. So much better. You'll also find that in your garden now, all those summer flowering, like the annuals and the all the little things with that are quite profuse flowering, like petunias, let's say, or gazanias. You can continue to do the, like the deadheading, because when you do deadheading, then you're encouraging more flowers, and you're still going to hopefully get a flush
yes.
into the autumn, because some of those annuals can make it all the way to wintertime, still producing really nice flowers, but it's just a little bit of extra work that you need to do just to keep things fresh. So, you know, deadheading means take off those flowers that are...
I was actually going to ask you, what did that mean?
Yeah, so when you have, let's say, petunia, it makes that little bush.
Yes.
And sometimes gets a bit leggy, so you cut those bits, but it'll often have a flower, and then the flower will be really nice, and then it'll start going off.
Okay.
And so the process of deadheading would be cutting those flowers that are going off.
Okay.
You cut them back, and then the plant should reshoot and produce more flowers.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the petunias are still going to look good for probably another, yeah, definitely 2 months or so. And then you'll start introducing the cooler weather pansies and violas, probably to, if you alternate with petunias in summertime and then yes. pansies in wintertime. Yeah. It's probably like a common combination.
And it also handles our wind, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, petunias are quite resilient yeah. to the wind, which is quite cool. I'm just trying to...
And we're just going through the motions right now.
I know that, you know, David always talks about roses, but, you know.
Yes, yes David, apparently I would love to see David's garden. It's, yeah. He says it's full of roses and he's very proud of them.
Yes, I know. I know he loves his roses.
Yes.
And it's quite special that he's got them here in the valley, because sometimes it's difficult to grow. But I think he's got a...
He's mastered it.
Yes, he's got a sheltered position that yeah. he's put them in, nice warm sheltered position.
We've got a section in our mountain garden, mm-hmm. you know, because it's very, very rugged. And there is a section of little roses growing quite okay. happily.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, it can yeah. work. They just are high maintenance. I think that's why he also talks about it, because yes. there is the spraying and the pruning and the, you know, the mulching. I mean, it's all the common things yes. you do, but I think just in terms of roses, it's just more intense, because you're always having to do something, usually.
Yes.
You know, they get the rust, and then they get the aphid, and then they get this, and then they get that. So, you know, it's, you have yeah. to keep your finger on that. Yeah, and then also something that's going to start happening now is the lawn caterpillars. As we get closer to winter, or autumn, I should say, then, yes. then the lawn caterpillars, they come into play. And a lawn caterpillar... I think it's a little moth that lays the eggs in your okay. grass. And then also lawn crickets as well. They also start coming through now. And
does that cause the grass to go green and die type of story?
Yeah, usually you'll have yellow patches and yes. you can't work out why, because you're watering or you're fertilizing and you don't know what's going on. So either it's the fungus has come in, so it could be a fungus happening, or it could be the problem with the lawn caterpillar or right. lawn cricket.
So what does one do to...
Yes.
Get rid of the menace.
Well, I would probably say that you can do the test first. I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
No, I think explain that to us. What okay. kind of test?
Yeah, so you're not sure what's going on with your grass. It's getting these yellow patches. You don't know. So what you decide to do is do the test. And what happens there is you water a section, and then you put down a piece of either a piece of black plastic, or also recommend like a wet towel over the area that's looking a little bit bad.
Yes.
And then you put that in the evening, and then in the morning, if you lift up that towel, what you're going to see, if there is crickets or lawn caterpillar, are crickets or lawn caterpillars.
All right. So and they'll come up.
They'll sit there on the surface, because they think it's still nighttime.
Okay.
And it'll be moist. So
what a clever test.
And then, yeah, so if you've got the lawn crickets are the sort of gray... beigey sort of color, and they do eat the grass and makes it spongy underneath. And then lawn caterpillars they're like a dark gray green color with like little yellow stripes. But I mean, if you're going to find lawn caterpillars in your lawn, it's probably going to be those anyway.
Okay.
So once you've done the test and you see them, then you do have to treat. And the options, unfortunately, are not very... you know, there's no eco-friendly, I mean, you can try like one of the what's it called?
Eco-friendly products.
Yeah, it's like Organicide Plus. Yes. You know, I've talked about this before, you know, when it's an organic product, yes, because it comes from a plant. But in terms of like the chemical composition, it's exactly the same as the synthetic version. So, you know, they can call that organic, but it's actually just as toxic, unfortunately. So you could do that pyrethrum, but it's got to get in contact with those. And because they're in the soil, sometimes you will spray or you'll water it over, and it's not going to get to the actual, the little caterpillars or crickets. So the other option is there's something called 411 Worth insecticide, and it's actually a fertilizer with insecticide built into it. And that insecticide will then, when the little fertilizer granules get moisture, then some of the fertilizer and some of the insecticide will dissolve, and then it'll go into the soil. Yeah. And then if those things are there, then they're obviously going to get targeted.
So do you water your grass first and then you put the fertilizer, you put fertilizer and then water?
Sometimes it helps to water first, yes, because then when you spread, it actually sticks.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would say that's probably a good idea. You know, any fertilizer, if you moisten first and then put down, it just helps it because, you know, the wind in this place is crazy.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so that's an option. The other options are, there's the one that we've always used is called Carba Spray, and that's like a powder, and you mix that with water and you spray it over all the grass and then water that in. And that, I think the active ingredient in that is carbaryl, and it's a chemical. So, you know, you've got to keep your kids and dogs out of that area when you do it, and then hopefully good soaking, and then the grass is good to go. So, I mean, if your dog is prone to, like, eating the grass...
which many dogs are.
Yeah. Then provide them with, like, a little pet grass or something, and then hopefully they'll go for those instead of the grass that you've just, you know, put the insecticide on. But, you know, it can be a little bit disconcerting when, you know, you take care of your grass and then all of a sudden you start getting problems. You know, I know... David's a fan of grass. we still haven't had that like grass episode.
David is passionate, very passionate about grass. If you've just tuned in, good morning, kuyamore, and welcome. We are busy with the Garden Zone with Harry, with Jeremy Fenn from Harry Humans.
Yes.
green grass of home.
It's so funny. My son, he watches TV, obviously. Yes. I mean, he's a kid. And... he's got a decidedly American accent when it comes to all those grass and
yes.
I can't even think of what he says, but it's like, you know, come on, just speak South African.
Yes. Sorry, Jeremy. Green grass of him.
I'm not speaking to you directly. I'm speaking to my son.
Because it's so funny. We all do it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
We've kind of polished. You know, the slang.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But I thought we could just touch back on the pruning aspect of the garden because, you know, even though you're not planting, there are still things to do. And obviously, yes, we've talked about that. But in terms of pruning, you're still going to get your shrubs that are growing, obviously, because of the heat and all that sort of stuff. So you've got to try and keep them in check. You don't want to take off lots. You don't want to prune back hard or anything like that. It's more like haircut.
Yeah.
I think we've definitely talked about that before.
Plenty times,
You're just giving it a little trim just to make it look neater. And obviously that helps the growth as well. And so in terms of tools, I always like to talk about the secateurs because you've got to have decent tools when you cut because the secateurs must be sharp when you do the pruning or your hedge shears or your loppers, anything like that. They have to be sharp because when you make the cut, you want that cut to be as clean as possible. And when I say clean,
So it's got to be sharp as well.
Yes. So that's what I mean when I say clean. It's a clean cut. So when you make the cut, it just slices through straight away one time.
So how does one keep that sharp?
Well, you buy good tools, first of all, so they hold their sharpness. So I always like to recommend the ARS brand. It's a Japanese brand, and they have some very nice secateurs. They feel so nice in your hand, and they also stay sharp like crazy. You can have garden tool sharpened as well. I think the lawnmower guy does it, or, you know.
Yes, there is someone that can sharpen the tools if needed.
And then after using them in the garden, just, you know, give them a nice clean.
You've mentioned that before, that you need to clean your tools.
You need to clean the tools, yeah. Just in case there is some bacteria or something like that, and then you're transferring it between different plants.
So how does one clean
you can use
garden tools?
I don't know if you should use like sanitizer, because it usually has additives in it, but you can use that like isopropyl alcohol, something like that, or maybe hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah. Do you stock that?
I've got hydrogen peroxide. I don't have the alcohol.
Okay.
But yeah, one of those. I think hydrogen peroxide will work quite nicely just to kill any
germs
or whatever there. And and then obviously free of debris, and then dry them after you've cleaned them, because that's another thing. You know, you don't want to leave your tool wet and then you take it out later when you need it again and it's got a bit rusty, or, you know, something or gunky, and it won't operate properly. So as with anything, maintenance of the tools is important. And then use the right tool for the job. So if you're pruning smaller stuff, you can use a pair of secateurs, like up to a centimeter, and then mostly not into like really hardwood or old wood, because the secateur is not really meant for that. And then if you need to go up a little bit, then you would use a pair of loppers. I mean, a hedge shear can do thin branches as well, but that's more of the haircut. But if you need to take thick branches, then maybe a pair of loppers will do the job. And if any thicker than that, then you can maybe look at a handsaw.
Yeah. Do you stock any tools?
Yeah, we've got all of those.
So you have all the tools?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And there's a folding, also in the ARS brand, there's a folding saw, which I recommend like crazy. It's a single handsaw, but it actually is so efficient that it'll work, you know, going through a log that you might need one of those bow saws where you have to actually like really get your shoulder into it. This handsaw will do it more efficiently with just that hand, just one single hand movement. And, you know, that's like changes the game when it comes to pruning. So I would recommend, you know, checking those out as well.
So if someone wanted to just start out, now I'm going to be a gardener.
Yes.
And I've never done it before. They can make the way to you. And this is what you would suggest. First of all, it's boots and gloves, and then tools, and then your discussion on how to make a fabulous garden.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we've got obviously all sorts of different tools, and most of every, you know, a lot of people when they come to the garden center, which is quite, I really enjoy hearing, is that, you know, it's like a one-stop shop, usually. And if I don't have something, you know, I'll think about it and I'll check it out and like, is it something that we definitely need? Well, actually, even maybe we only going to sell it to one person once a year, but I might just put it in there because
that one person's going to show up.
That one person's going to show up eventually. Like this weekend, a guy was looking for a float for his JoJo tank, and he wanted the one that, you know, like a toilet cistern. So it's got that ball.
Yes.
And the only floats that I've got are electronic floats where it'll turn on the pump or turn off the pump. And he just wanted that simple, like a toilet cistern to stop the water. And I don't sell them, and my suppliers don't sell them. And I'm like, well, where am I going to get these things? Because I know they're available, but it's more of a plumbing thing.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to do my research, because I've actually had maybe three people in the last year looking for it. So it might be a good idea for me to get some.
Because David always says, you go to Harry Crewman's, they've got everything you need. He punts it a lot. He says, you've always, you know, you've got it. And that's nice to know. I did not know that you sold, that makes sense. It's a nursery, so you would have tools. But I didn't know. Now, sometimes you've got to go to
hardware store or something.
To get the tools.
Yeah, you know? I don't have everything, you know, I try.
So you start with, when they come, you say, these are the basic tools. You give them guidance on the basic tools. So what? Just mention again, what are the basic tools?
Well, hand spade or normal spade. You know,
a rake,
digging holes.
Do people still use rakes?
Yeah, of course.
Do they?
Yeah,
just wondering.
No, we've got, you know, you can get a plastic rake, you can get a metal rake, you can get that hard metal rake for more, you know, moving stone around, and or even turning soil a little bit. and then a rubber rake on a soft rake. So yeah, there's options as well for the rakes.
Well, there we go. See, I'm learning every day with you.
Yeah, and then gloves.
Wheelbarrow, definitely.
The wheelbarrow, actually, no. I've just found that I can never get a good enough deal compared to the big box stores.
Okay.
So that frustrates me. I suppose I should just have them there, even though they're probably going to be more expensive, unfortunately.
Yes.
But you know when, like, the other hardware stores, you know, they buy 20 at a time.
Yes.
And I'm not in that league, unfortunately, for wheelbarrow. Yeah. So it's not something that I, you know, usually stuff. But, you know, the irrigation stuff, the hose pipes, you obviously got to get water.
Yes.
So watering cans, you know, all those good things we have.
You have a lovely layout, I must say, because even when you walk in, it's very attractive. You know,
yes.
It's like you, oh, what is that? So it's you've done a very good job on your layout.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So the time has come up. Anything else that you want to share before we say goodbye? Thank goodness you didn't do the quiz on me. Oh, my word.
We'll have to save it for another time. I'll just spring it on you.
I think we just do the quiz for the listeners, see how much they've learned.
Yes, that's probably a good idea.
But we can cheat in the studio. We can cheat. You can give me the answers. So, Jeremy, everyone knows who you are by now, but still give out your details and, you know.
Come and visit us. We're on Kumaki Road, Harry Coleman's Garden Center. And our number is 021-785-3201.
So, Jeremy, thank you for coming in, sharing your knowledge. And it's definitely a lot of knowledge and expertise.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, soon I will be able to do my garden. You know, soon. I still need to come ask you questions.
That's cool.
Jeremy, have a lekker morning and see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Coleman's Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Coleman's Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Coleman's Garden Center.